change is coming. Amen. Everything will be all right. Amen. Thank you, youth choir. Let's give them another hand. Amen. Amen. We certainly thank our youth and thank Brother Sean for the great work that they're doing. Our choir, our musicians, and our directors. Just grateful that the Lord has blessed us today. As mentioned earlier, we do want to welcome those that are online and those that are worshiping in here. We're certainly praising God and thanking Him for His many, many blessings that He's provided in our lives. We also want to share with you that the memorial service for Mr. Charlie Patterson is going to be at 1 p.m. today, and there will be some slight changes in our service as a result of that, because we want to have make way for the arrival of the funeral directors here at 12 noon. But that service will be at 1 p.m. today, and thank you for coming out and sharing with the family. Also, Miss Tiffany Cobbs lost her mother, Mrs. Moore, and that service will be announced later this week. I think it's going to be announced later this week. She passed on yesterday. Faye James also lost her mother, Mrs. Elliott, and that service will be on Wednesday at, I think it's at 1 p.m., Wednesday at 1 p.m. at the Fifth Street Baptist Church. So asking that you pray for the family as they go through this time of bereavement. One further announcement, I want you to make a note that the MLK, the Martin Luther King Day, will be celebrated tomorrow at the Rustburg High School. And that will be at 2 p.m. The Honorable Judge Eugene Butler will be the guest speaker for that event. And looking forward to that event on tomorrow. I know many of our members will be participating in the choir there for tomorrow. So going to be a great, great event. They do have rehearsal this afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Rustburg High School. So tomorrow, if you're not celebrating otherwise, we ask that you would please come and be a part of that service, MLK celebration at Rustburg High School at 2 p.m. Also, pray for our sick and shut in, those that are in the hospital and those that are in recovery, that the Lord would bless and help them through their time of need. Amen. Everybody ready to get in the Word? Amen. We thank God for a blessing today. And I'm going to invite you to our passage of Scripture taken from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where we will find our Scripture verse. And our theme for this year is celebrating God's faithfulness. And while a lot of people may look at that as simply expressions of worship, we celebrate God's faithfulness by being what God wants us to be. Developing in our faith, and being able to just go out and share with the world what Christ means to us and what He's doing in our lives. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A town or city built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify, look at that word, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Before you take your seat, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we need to light it up. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So often when we talk about celebrating God, as I said, people look at it as some formality, some worship service, some way of saying, yes, I want to thank God. And certainly testimonies are very good. They're very critical. But when you focus on the most powerful way that you and I can express God's goodness, it is to become what God would have us to be. It is to become what God would have us to be and to do as God has directed us. In these verses, we're going to be looking at what we call a description. a description. Descriptions are given in various ways. There are various things that we can do to describe people. For instance, someone who has financial clout, they may look at themselves as being financial giants. They may look at themselves in that fashion. Politicians may see themselves as having political clout, having influence. People love these descriptions and ways to describe themselves as being important. A young person might say, well, I'm young and I'm full of energy. Versus an old person might say, I'm just trying to make it. But descriptions are important, especially when you look at your relationship with God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used two descriptions. One was salt, and the other was light. Many of us are not familiar with the properties of salt, and I won't get into a discussion on that, but salt was more than something that you shake on your food. It was used to preserve. It was used as, in some cases, to cleanse a wound. I might imagine that a painful way of cleansing it, but it did the job. It was used as an antiseptic. And even now, you use salt. If you are having a throat issue, they will tell you gargle with warm water and salt. But Jesus used that description to show how powerful his people are in the world. You're in the world, but you are not like the world. You might say that the world has lost something. How have they lost it? They've lost it because of sin. They've lost it because of that distance between mankind and God. And so Jesus used these examples to show, here's what I want you to do. Here's your description. Here is how you are to fulfill your function in this world. You are to be salt and light. Now, the question that you and I ought to be asking ourselves at this point, are we God's light? Are we the light? And I'm not talking about something that you have to generate. You know, let me just make my light. That's not what the scripture says. It says, let your light. Let your light shine. So a couple of things we're going to talk about today. How do you let your light shine? How do you light it up? And I'm going to give you some examples from the scripture of this divine light that is now coming to your life. So quick summary. What does it mean to accept Christ? It means that when God comes into your life, there is going to be something about you that is going to be flavor, a preservative to this world, that's salt, but it's also going to be light. It's going to illuminate. It's going to shine. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we as God describes us to be? Two things we want to ask in this point of divine light. Where's the power going to come from? You look at the lights in this building, the light has to be generated. Somewhere nearby, there's a power plant that's producing electricity that comes in this. Don't ask me to get into it. I do not know. All I know is you pay the bill, you get lights. You don't pay the bill, your lights get shut off. Where is our power coming from as a child of God? How is God going to impact us in the way that we can produce this kind of light and the magnitude of this light? Notice he says, you're light in the world. Power has to come from somewhere. It has to be produced. One of the jobs that I had in the military was a fire protection specialist. And we had to understand the properties of a fire in order to put it out. Three things that it takes to make a fire. You got to have fuel, something that will burn. You got to have heat. And you've also got to have air in order for that fire to burn. Remove one of those and the fire goes out. If we look at our spiritual life, what the enemy will do, and I'm not just talking about the enemy, the devil, I'm also talking about the enemy of your own self. We can very easily put out the fire by removing the element of heat. We just become cold. I don't care. I'm not concerned about anybody else except me. You can put the fire out. The divine fire of God that he put in your soul can go out by simply being selfish. And this generation, sadly, is moving more in that direction. It's all about me. It's not about anyone else. But the fire can also be put out by things like discouragement. I tried. It didn't work. I'm giving up. When God fuels your fire, you never get to the place where you're saying, I'm going to throw up my hands and I'm going to give up. He didn't bring you into this race for that. Jesus was talking to a multitude of people who were wondering, who in the world are we and what in the world should we be doing in this environment? They were controlled by the Romans. They had religious leaders that didn't really care about their day-to-day suffering and their struggle. And they would ask themselves, well, what are we? And Jesus said, you're powerful. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he was talking about that power that can only come and that can only be generated by God Almighty. But the second thing that's important or critical in this discussion is that we have to think about where that light is placed. Not only where it's going to get its power, get its fuel from, but we got to think about where we're going to put it. Where we're going to put it. Here's another challenge to you and me. We might ask ourselves, am I in a position, am I positioned in such a way that I can influence others and give them light? All right, so we say to ourselves in this verse, you don't take a light and hide it under a bowl. You don't hide it under something where it can be hidden. You take the light and you hold it up on that lampstand. And there it shines. There it gives light to everybody. Two things that will challenge us in this area. One, folks that we don't like, I ain't going to let my light shine on them. I don't care too much about them. You're going to run into folks that, for whatever reason, they're not going to be likable. But Jesus didn't say, okay, turn the light off. When you get around those people, turn it on when you get around people that you like. It's kind of like the smiles that we give sometimes. You know, we give these fake smiles. We don't really want to smile at people, so we go. That's called showing your teeth. It's not a real genuine smile. You cannot discriminate when and where the light shines. You must let it shine. Because it's shining for the glory of God. Yes. Jesus said, let your light shine. He's going to give you the power for it. He's going to give you the things that you need in order for your light to shine. And therefore, he says that you're to let your light shine. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples to bring you into how the light really makes a difference in our lives and what we're supposed to do. Number one, I want to talk about this guy named Moses. Moses, born in Egypt. Born in a condition where his people were enslaved, people in bondage. He felt like, okay, I need to do something about the situation of my people. They're struggling. And so he tried to take matters into his own hand. Long story short, he killed an Egyptian, hid him in the sand. And then when everybody found out about it, Moses had to skip town. Didn't work. Why didn't it work? He tried to light his own candle. All right, all right. He tried to say, I'm going to do something so fantastic that people are going to like me. That trick doesn't work. You can try it, and you'll be disappointed again and again and again. Right. Young people, take a lesson from us old folk. We tried that, and it didn't work. Being the genuine light of God, being and allowing that genuine light of God means that we must see God. If you don't see him, you won't see the light. This happened to Moses as he was on the backside of the desert tending the sheep of Jethro, trying to make a career of himself. He said, now, you know, I was born a prince, but now I'm out here tending sheep like a pauper. There on the backside of the desert, something happened. God lit up a burning bush. And when that bush caught fire, it caught Moses' eye. Not that it was on fire, but the fact that it did not burn up. God got his attention. And I want to tell you, God wants your attention. Not only does he want your attention, but he wants your life. He wants to lead you in a direction that is the right way, and we will get the right results because we are carrying out God's will. Thought about something in Sunday school today. A lot of people love to call Jesus Savior, but how many of us can truly call him Lord? When you call him Lord, that means he calls the shots. He's the one that's giving the direction. Moses, when he saw that burning bush, he said, then let me go aside and find out why is it that this bush is burning but is not consumed. And as he approached the bush, you know the story. God told him to take his shoes off, for the ground that he stood on was sacred ground, holy ground. But then he said something amazing to Moses. It wasn't just about seeing the bush, but seeing an opportunity. He said, my people are in bondage, and I'm sending you to go and bring them out of Egypt. He had an assignment. Now, before you all get scared and say, well, man, I can't do that. Of course you can. There may not be a need for that, but God wants you to do something. That's why he shines a light. That's why the brilliance of God's glory comes upon us in order for us to see something, but not only see something, to observe that there's an opportunity now. There's something that the Savior wants done. There's something that God would have me to do. I've got to step out of my own comfort zone, of my own back desert experience, and I've got to say, God, however you want to use me for your glory. Is anybody getting something? So when you think about it, every one of us is going to have some type of experience where God gets your attention. It may be on your job. It may be while you're driving. Sadly, it may be through one of these crisis moments where you finally look up and say, you know what? God is real. And I've got to do something about this in my own life. God wants your attention. He got Moses' attention. He sent him into Egypt. But here's the part I love about it. The fire that was in the bush got in Moses. Because otherwise, he would have been afraid. He would have made excuses. He would have said to himself, I can't, which he did. He said, I can't do this. I can't even talk right. There's a lot of things I can't. But he never said he was too old. God gave him some fabulous news. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. He makes that promise to every one of us in here today. I'm going with you. You won't have to do this thing called life by yourself. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be by your side. When you get lonely, I'll be there. You can talk to me. You can bring your burdens to me, and I'll take care of you. A second example that we look at when we think about this light that we have, this light that God has given, it's the example of the shepherds. We just celebrated Christmas, and, you know, we had a lot of remembrance about what happened when Jesus was born and all of these wonderful things. But I reflected on these shepherds. Did you not know that they saw a light from heaven? Angel began to speak to them, announcing to them the birth of the Savior. That light drew them upward, drew their attention to God and said, God is now speaking to me. Is it going to be that dramatic in your life? Probably not. But at some point in your life, you're going to feel something in your heart. You're going to feel this deep need. If God is real, I need to do something about it. If God is who he says he is, I need to start letting that light shine around me. Now, how did the light make the difference with these shepherds? Well, remember, they were out tending their sheep, minding their own business. But because they saw the light and because they heard the announcement, they said, let us go see? Let's find out. People are asking the question all the time. Is God real? Find out. Ask him. Go to him. And I would suggest that, you know, if you go to this church, you can go to any church and say, hey, is God real? Amen. There are people who will give you testimony after testimony. Yes. I didn't see him, but I saw the light. Amen. I didn't understand all that God was doing, but he led me and directed me in a way that I knew it had to be God. Those shepherds left the comfort of where they were, went into the little town of Bethlehem, and there they saw the true light. The true light, which lighteth everyone, and which is Jesus. He's there in the manger. And they saw him. You know what they did? They ran out and told everybody, guess what I saw? You know, I'm looking forward to the Sunday. And it doesn't have to be on Sunday, but we kind of get together on Sunday. We do this thing called church on Sunday, right? But I'm looking forward to the Sunday when we get in here and we get so lit up with God that before we get out the door, you know, I ain't got time to tell you about last week's business. I got to tell somebody about the light of the world. I wish I could get to the place or to the Sunday where every one of us would get so excited about Jesus that we would go out and do as the shepherds did. What a wonderful lesson in evangelism. What a wonderful lesson teaching us. If you see it, tell somebody. Amen. Amen. A third example. This guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. That's where he was from. Saul of Tarsus was a young man at that time and probably moving up the religious ladder because he was very strict on everything he did. If it wasn't according to the law of Moses, then he was going to oppose it. He was going to fight against it. And he didn't understand everything that he was fighting against. I should take a sidebar and preach a little sermonette on folks fighting against things that they don't even understand. But I'm not going to preach that this Sunday. But I am going to preach it one Sunday about folks fighting against things they don't even know what they're fighting against. They're just fighting. They're just, you know. And when you do what I call wild fighting, you're subject to hit anybody. Can I get a witness? Focus on the things that are critical. Saul was on his way to Damascus, had just gotten orders, or what we might call letters from the religious leaders, to go to Damascus. And if he found any that supported that way, that Christian movement, arrest them, bring them to Jerusalem, and we're going to put them on trial. That's how he was so zealous, so wanting to do what he wanted to do. But before he got to Damascus, look at somebody that said, before he got there, before you get to where you're going, God's going to show you something. Amen. Right now, you're riding your high horse. You're going, hey, everything working out fine. But God's going to give you a wake-up call. The Bible said a light shined from heaven. And the Lord Jesus himself spoke to him and said, Saul. So calling him two times, Saul, why are you persecuting me? First question on his mind, who are you? A lot of folk in church think they know the Lord. You better really know him. I said, you better really know him. Don't just think about him. Don't have religious thoughts about him. Know him for yourself. Being blinded by the light, he asked the second question, what would you have me to do? When you see the light, it always requires an action. It always says there's a next step. You don't just see the light, some religious experience, oh, praise God, I saw the light. The light brings forth a change, and it demands an action. If you have the light in you, it is going to motivate you. It is going to move you to something different and something fabulous for your life. Now, I said all of that to give you four little points. Four little points that we're going to point to if you got the light. Somebody whisper to somebody, I got the light. I got it. I got the light. I've got the light. Y'all ain't whispering while you... You say everything else in church except what the preacher tell you. When I was studying for this message, I said, God, how do we respond to your light? How do we behold it in such a way that it makes an impact? It makes a difference. How do we really get our life together? And I know a lot of us come to church and we're struggling. Amen? Something happened or something going to happen, and we're trying to deal with that. And now you want us to be a light? You want us to go out and tell others? Even in the midst of your struggle, God will give you such a deliverance that, yeah, you got problems, but your problem doesn't keep you from serving and doing what the Lord told you to do. Amen. You got needs like anyone else. Never let anyone tell you you become a Christian and all your problems are over. No, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. This is not some magic wand that we wave over life and abracadabra and now everything is all right. Don't defame the name of Jesus simply by saying to a problem, Jesus. You got to know who you're talking to. And while you're asking a question, the Lord may have sent that problem just to give you strength. Amen. You thought you were powerful before you had the problem, but sometimes he sends you the problem to let you know he's going to work it out. I wish I could preach the way I felt today. So when you see the light, you've got to respond to it. You've got to be able to say, Lord, I want you to help me. And the first thing is obvious about the issue of seeing the light. One is you can see it. You can see it. Jesus didn't say, make your light shine. He said, you are the light of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not a concept. It's a command. The same God that spoke that word on the Sermon on the Mount outside of Jerusalem, the same God spoke in the beginning of creation. He's the same one that said, let there be light. If you go back and you compare those two passages, Genesis and also the one in Matthew, the same God is saying the same word. Now, when he spoke in the creation, let there be light, he simply put them up there. Did you not know that our sun is really a planet? Yeah, go back and look at it. What makes it different? It's on fire. Y'all didn't catch it. Somebody caught it. Somebody got what I'm saying. When God gets in you, you're going to catch on fire. It's going to light up your life. I don't know whether other people have the same testimony that I did when I got saved in South Korea. Osan Air Base, South Korea, 1974. Calvin, I can remember just like it was yesterday. At a little chapel, I asked Jesus to come into my life. And I'm going to tell you, something happened to me on that day. I started running. Not running from something, not running to anything. I started running because something had lit me up. Now, all right, y'all ain't been in church all your life, right? All right, I'm going to talk to the for real folk, for real, for real. Can I talk to the for real folk? All right, now, y'all know what it means to get lit up the wrong way. We all know about that, right? Yeah, you sit in the club. Some of y'all might have been there last night. I ain't saying. And you got lit up, all right? But I'm not talking about that which comes through a chemical. I'm not talking about that which comes through alcohol. I'm talking about that which comes through a divine love from God. Amen. He will light up your life. And the good news is, you can see it. You can see it. The second thing about it, you can follow it. You can follow that light. 2 years, the process where the light shined to the Magi, or the wise men, they came from the far east to find the Savior. How did you get here? We saw his light. We saw a star in the east, and we come to worship him. Every Christian ought to be guided by God's light. You ought to be allowing that light to direct you. Moses followed it. He followed it. He said, you know what? I can't stay here in the desert because the light is telling me I got to go to Egypt. I've got to serve God where I can apply myself. And he went there, 80-year-old man. But he had enough light and life in him to do what God wanted him to do. You can do it also. Never let anybody quench the flame of determination that God has put in your life. Never let anybody talk you out of what God talks you into. You can follow it. Matthew 5 and verse 15, it says, don't take the light, hide it under a bushel or a bowl, but you put it on a stand. Put it a place where you can see it. That following means to be in a place where God wants you to be and where you can grow as God's light. Third thing about this light, I'm almost done. You can use it. You can use it. The light that God has for you, it produces. Would you not believe that the very sun that we see every day is shining right now? Even though clouds might get in its way sometime, but the sun is still shining. The earth needs it. And we've been able to come up with electricity, and we can say, okay, we got all these wonderful things, but you still need the sun. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is that you are needed. People need you in this dark world. Why? Because Jesus said, let your light so shine before others that they may see your what? Good deeds. Are there any evil deeds being done in our world? Are people treating each other the way that they should be treating them? There is a need for people to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to do God's will. Don't think that it always demands that you got to do a job in the church. What I'm talking about is outside of the church. Maybe helping people that need help. Encouraging people that need encouragement. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works or your good deeds and do what? Glorify God. They're going to glorify God, which is in heaven. If you got a light, use it. And what we like to do, we got this thing called church competition. All right? And we're going to outdo each other. You know, if you come to clapping your hands, somebody's going to clap louder than everybody else, okay? Competition is good to a certain extent. But all that we do, we're not competing with each other. We're working together to do God's will. If one light can shine bright, what happens if you put two lights together? It multiplies. What happens if you put three? Rather than being individualistic about our approach to this light, we need to be unified. Because I believe that when enough of us get together, we can start a fire. And that fire can light up this world. That fire can change things in our society if we simply would let our light shine. Finally, I want to close with this. You can share it. You can share it. Let me ask a simple question. Has God been good to you? Amen. All right? So if God has been good to you, evidently it did something on the inside of you. It started having you to feel a certain way about God. Now, if you feel a certain way about God, which ought to be saying, you know what? I loved him before he blessed me, but now I love him more because he blessed me. Now, if you can say that on the inside, why don't you just flip it, turn it on the outside, and let somebody know God is a good God. He brought me from a mighty long way. You don't have to come up with some long narrative. All you got to say is that the Lord is still merciful. He's blessing me to let my light shine. As I close, I want to close with one of my favorite songs that I would sing. And it's not written by who you think it's written by. It's written by a gentleman by the name of Hank Williams Sr. I like country music. A lot of them tell stories, take you on a journey. I like country music. Hank Williams Sr. is not only a noted country music singer. He was a heathen. Second reason why I can relate to him, because he's real, you know. He doesn't play around. But in 1948, something hit him. Something hit him. And he wrote a song that really people didn't think he was going to write. The title of that song was, I Saw the Light. Let me give you a couple of verses. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Last verse. I was a fool to wander and stray. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Hank Williams Sr. saw something. If he can see it, you can see it. If William Coleman out of Scottsburg, Virginia, folks say he's headed nowhere, gonna go nowhere. If he could see the light, you can see it. And if we can see the light, we can share the light. And if we can share the light, ladies and gentlemen, we can change the world. I believe that we got young people that stand up and they would sing songs to the Lord and tell people, raise your hands and praise the Lord. These are young folk. What are they saying? I saw the light. I believe that God is light. All I'm asking you to do, not to be the one that makes the light, just hold the light. Just hold the light. Jesus said, I want to put you somewhere. I want to put you in a place where others can see your good works, and they're going to glorify me. God's doing that with some people in this church. He's taking their lives and put them up on a stand. Said, look at them. They're my light. Now, people don't like light. Everybody doesn't love the light. Some people will fight against it. Some people will try to put your light out. But you know what? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Even in my home, I'm going to let it shine. Wherever I go, I'm going to let it shine. Do I have any people in this church today that will stand up and say, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Hank, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about when you say I saw the light. Because I got that light. One day I was in darkness, wandered alone. Wearies and fears I claim for my own. But then Jesus came like a thief in the night. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Anybody saw the light? We're not going to sing Hank Williams, but we're going to sing another song here. But if you love the Lord, clap your hands. Amen. Y'all ready? How many of y'all going through something? I said, how many of you all are going through something? How many of you just went through it and you're glad you're out of it?
Makes no difference what you're going through. Gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up high. Put a smile on your face. This is just another test. It won't last always. Get ready. I know you've been hurting deep down inside, but let me encourage you, it's gonna be all right. Those struggles and trials come only to make you strong. Keep on believing, yeah, and keep on holding on. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Oh, get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Let me say that verse again. I know you've been hurting deep down inside, but let me encourage you, it's gonna be all right. Your struggles and trials come only to make you strong. Keep on believing and keep on holding on. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Oh, get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Tell somebody, get ready, get ready.
Get ready, get ready.
Get ready, get ready. Reason why you ought to get ready is simple. Listen. God's got a blessing. And y'all don't believe it, open. Let me ask the folks. God's got a blessing. Help me say it today. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With your name on it.
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 With your name on it. With your name on it. For your miracle. For your miracle. For your miracle. For your miracle. So get ready for your blessing. The invitation, there might be someone today that has never accepted Christ, and I'm telling you, he will give you a light. He will give you a good light, a great light that will shine throughout eternity. But you got to trust him. If you're online, I know you can't come in here, but I do know that you can accept Christ right where you are. And all you've got to do is simply say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, come into my life and save me. And God will do just that. I'm going to open up the altar. If there be any inside here that want to come to know him, want to give their life to the Lord, I'm going to ask that you come. There be one. Their altar's open. There be any. Amen. So are you all light? Anybody ask you if you got a light, you can tell them, yeah, I got a light. That light is Jesus. Amen. Do want to offer a correction that Faye James' mother, her service will be on this coming Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the 5th Street Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. So that correction. At this time, we're going to do something a little bit different because we have other activities. We're going to ask Brother Joe to come and dismiss us in prayer, but also say the prayer over the offering. And the officers and the ushers will be taking your offering at the exit as you go out today. So, Brother Joe.
Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that you have enabled us, O God, to see within this message that there is a light. And the light, O God, is pointing towards your Son for what he did for us on the cross. And Lord, we do pray that as we leave this sanctuary, God, we will be able to enthusiastically share that light with someone. Help us, O God, that we may be able, Father, to be a testimony. That light that we've been talking about. Not only that we can say, but we can demonstrate that light in our lives as we proceed living this life. So we thank you and we praise you. Continue to pray for our pastor as he studies, as he continues to teach us, Lord. Help us, O Lord, that we may be able to be receptive, not only today, but always, so that we can share it with others. We thank you. Now we also pray, dear God, on this offering that you have blessed us with. We pray, Lord, that you may use it for your kingdom. Those who do have to give, those who do not have to give. But, Lord, we do know that you know our hearts. So we pray, ask your blessings upon it, that, dear Lord, it may be multiplied and be used for your kingdom. We pray and ask this message in Jesus' name. Amen.